Bibles, and you can turn over in it if you want to, David. Not a problem.
There's no one here small enough.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I don't figure it's going to do you any good or the Bible for that matter, but I want to look at Psalms 100. I'm going to read the first five verses of Psalm 100. And when you get there, you'll see what I'm talking about. Because the whole chapter is five verses. Well, see, I'm in a good mood because as of today, actually as of yesterday, I'm a year older. So I'm that much closer to senility. You know? One day at a time. Psalms 100. Verse 1. Well, actually, it says a psalm of praise. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, as far as I'm concerned right now, I could sit down. You've heard the word of God. Because I love this psalm. It's short, it's sweet, and it's to the point. And best of all, every single word of it is true. And I do remember reading this about 30 years ago or so. And it's one of the verses, one of the scriptures in the Old Testament I remember seeing, there's the truth of God according to God about his people. He made them. I was in a church where the people kind of thought they helped make themselves. And so it was always a great blessing to me because it's in the New Testament, in the book of John and everywhere else, you know, Ephesians, plainly. But I always got a special kick out of reading in the Old Testament. So like, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Amen. Whose work is it? Because a lot of people will say in a lot of places that salvation is of the Lord, but then they'll go right after it and what Earl used to say, kick the whole bucket of milk over, even if it ain't much of a bucket. They'll say salvation of the Lord, then they'll tell you what you got to do. And they'll tell you how to do it. Incorrectly. So I remember reading this, and I remember thinking, my goodness. And I thought, well, let me do something short. And then I started looking at this, and it's like, well, this may not be short. I don't know. It just depends upon how quick I go with it. Because it starts off, even before it starts off, saying it's a psalm of praise. Okay? For information's sake only, when you see something that says it's a psalm of praise, it's not about you. Okay? It's not about me. It's about God. There's way too much time spent in church on me. On men. And nowhere near enough time spent on God. Spent on Jesus Christ. And his work. His accomplishments. His redemption. But a psalm of praise is about God. And the first verse starts out, make a joyful noise. And I looked at this and I thought about it. True religion is not burdensome. I started to write down true religion is not supposed to be burdensome, but I changed it. Because true religion isn't burdensome. Now, you might be burdened. You might be cast about by all manner of cares. But the true religion, the worship of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing God and knowing Christ is not burdensome. It is freeing. Ye shall know the Son, and the Son shall set you free. He set me free from that place I used to go and get vexed. Because I didn't know anywhere better to go. And I was actually having a good time. It was joyous to see Walter when I went there after a while. And we had talked a bit. And God had done something for him. It became even more joyous. Because I had more fun talking to Walter before church and after church than I did during services. Because there was more truth told and agreed upon and happy to hear. True religion, the worship of the one true and living God, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, is not supposed to be burdensome because it's not burdensome. You know, there'd been a saying around for a few years, and I don't know how long it's been around. They say it, and you'll see t-shirts still every now and then. Life is good. Life is good. And sometimes it is. I don't have a problem with that. But I'll tell you something else. Eternal life is good.
Yeah.
It's God good. Not man good, it's God good. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We know God. We know Christ. Jesus, the one who came and gave himself for us. That will make you make a joyful noise. Because there are times, where I'm not all that happy. Where circumstances do shut you down, slow you down, cast depressing thoughts in your head. It happens. That's life. Your kid stubs his toe, the job's gone to heck in a handbasket. Life will wear on you. But Jesus Christ is always God. He is not burdensome. He lifts my burdens. And if I can focus on him, my burdens get much lighter, Mason. Everything gets much better because you come to realize that some things in this world are temporary, and thank God for that. But he is eternal, and he has given me eternal life. And one day, no matter what happens, in between here and now, I'm going to meet him in the air. And I have no idea what that's going to be like, but I'm really, really looking forward to it. Make a joyful noise. The old question I've heard people ask, and it's kind of stupid. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, if they let me talk, yes. If you're looking at my life, I don't know. I don't want to know. See, what they're talking about is evidence is, oh, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't go to the movies, you don't watch TV except for, you know, WVU football. That's accepted by all religions, and I saw them kneel on the field after their victory yesterday. My wife was watching it. I'm blaming her. In prayer. And I looked at that. They were all kneeling around, and I hope nobody takes offense to this. And I thought, dear God, thank you for letting us vanquish our godless heathen enemies, the Texas Longhorns. I don't know what they were praying. I don't know what they were doing kneeling on that field. But it looked really nice on TV. That's all it is. You thank God, they thank God for their victories, but they don't give them their checks. You know, all the baseball players get up there and do the little cross before they try and hit a home run. Anyway. The evidence of being a Christian is not what the world thinks it is. It's not. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can, just as only as well as you know what you can come up with, what you've heard, what you've read, what you've been taught by the Holy Spirit of God, and I'll tell you something, God will give you the words. I've been stuck in that place before where I'm saying things that I've, to be honest, I don't know where I remembered this from, but I remembered it. And it was, and it's really kind of spooky, it was the exact right thing to make somebody leave me alone. Because that's what happens when you open your mouth and you speak about Christ in truth. People leave. If they don't run you off, they'll leave. In some cases, it's mutual. I'm just as happy to go as they were, Mason. Luckily, no one has, you know, shown me a fist in 20 years or so. But even in the midst of an argument, I am happy to make a noise about my Lord. And if somebody's bad-mouthing him, I'm going to talk back to him even if they're on TV. It happens. On the radio, whatever, on signs, on the side of the road, I'll talk to Debbie, and if she's not there, I'll talk to myself. That sign's still up, says, why I believe. I got to. I have to believe. He gave that to me. I have to believe him because I know he's real. I know it in here. I know it in here, and I know it in here, and I know it in every fiber of my being. I cannot stop believing my Lord Jesus Christ. And that, to me, is joyful. I don't want to. There's sometimes I wish I could stop talking to other people. I like coming here and talking to you guys. I like when Jim McClarity came here and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I got to hear it. That's joyful to me. That was a joyful noise he was making. We are not to keep a joyful silence, although your silence can be joyful. This is a psalm of praise. You make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You extol him. We don't extol ourselves. Or the only way we extol ourselves is in the fact of what he's done for us, what he's done to us, and what he's done for other people maybe we know. It's a praise. The praise is of God, for God. All ye lands, it says. This is in the Old Testament. Now, in the book of Revelation, it talks about all of those making a joyful noise out of every kindred, nation, tribe under heaven, tongue under heaven. But it's right here in the Old Testament. All the lands. See, God is as inclusive as he wants to be, and God is as exclusive as God wants to be. He's God. It's his salvation. They say that salvation is of the Lord. They don't believe it, but they say it. I can say it, I can believe it. It's his. He can do what he wants with it and put it in all the lands. And he said he did. Or he said he will. I believe he has, and I believe he is, and I believe he will. Because it's his. He's going to do whatever it pleases him. Whatever pleases him, that's what he'll do. And he says, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. And I don't think that's just talking about every county in Israel. I believe that's talking about all ye lands. Because there are some out of every kindred, nation, tongue, tribe, whatever distinction you want to make, that do worship the God of the Bible, that know the Christ of the Bible. Amen. And I believe they're all going to be together there in the book of Revelations one day. And I also believe they're going to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Still got a couple minutes. The next verse starts off, serve the Lord. Now, all are supposed to serve the Lord. All without exception. All without exception owe God everything. Everything. We owe God service. We owe God love. We owe God praise. That's we as believers. We owe God our very life. As the psalmist is going to point out in the next verse. Serve the Lord. But Walter, I think, because I get this in my head of what I've heard from other people growing up and in other churches. I get this in my head, but then I have to stop and I think that, Walter, the Lord doesn't need anything. Especially from me. How am I to serve him? He doesn't need me. I need him. I owe him. But I don't know what to do for him. the Lord Jesus Christ lacks for nothing. But I want to serve him. I want to. I want to do something. But then I don't want to do something because I don't want it to be the wrong thing. One way you can serve the Lord to start out with, he's already said, make a joyful noise. The only way I know, and it's by his grace, that I can serve the Lord is if I can speak the truth of Christ and lie not. That's all I got. You know, I can't let people see Jesus in me. I'm sorry. And if you're looking for that, you're looking in the wrong place and the wrong person. I can't do that. I can't make my life an example for anyone. Jesus Christ's life is in here as an example for everyone, and nobody wants it. The world won't have it. But the Lord of glory is worthy. I owe him everything I have. And any service I can perform, I'm more than happy to do it. The guide I have is right here. In this book. That's the only guide I have, other than the Spirit in me. But the Spirit takes the things of his, which is in here, and shows them to me. But luckily, even though he doesn't need me to do anything for him, he is able and willing to give me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the only way I can serve the Lord. It's not in me. It comes from him. Because I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I don't know it as well as I should because I keep doing some things I probably shouldn't do. But I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But I also know he does give me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Any good service that I do render comes from him and not from me. At my best, I'm an unprofitable servant. That's at my best. You won't hear that from the world. They'll tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And how many times a day you have to get down on your knees and pray to Mecca. Or how many times you have to go to church, because if you don't go to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night visitation, you're not servicing the full service ministry. I'll tell you this, if you can, worship God every minute of your life. Amen. That's a reasonable service. And I can't do it. Not without him. And the only reason if I can do it is because he's doing it in me. It's because the Spirit is within us. Making prayers that can't be uttered because I don't know what to say. I can't utter them because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But thank God he does. And my life is in him, and it's not in myself. My service is in him, and it's not in myself. I owe him my love, but I love him because he first loved me. I owe him my life. I can't give him life because he wanted to give it to me. And he can't have no mouth but my mouth and no feet but my feet and no hands but my hands. Because I heard about him before I knew anything. He gave me life. Believers do serve the true and the living God. They do, even when they don't know it. Because he does put in them, in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's time for me to stop, but I'm going to throw this last part in with gladness. See, there's a lot of people out there serving the Lord. You need to serve the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. They're not very happy about it. I have heard in some places of what they call testimony meetings. And I'm going to tell you something. Those are about the most miserable bunch of people I ever met in my life. I thank Lord Jesus that I made it through the week. I'm not going to tell you some of the things I thought while I was sitting there. I'm thinking, well, maybe we'll get lucky next week. I'm not kidding. These people are depressing. The service of the Lord is to be with gladness. Amen. We can laugh and we can joke. Now, in the old days, that was frowned upon because that was frivolity. They wouldn't know a joyful noise if it bit them somewhere. With the people of God, when they're gathered together, if they cannot relax and have a good time among themselves, I'm going to tell you something. If you're gathered together here in his name, that is service. That is serving the Lord. You're here to hear the word of God preached. And you're here to learn the word of God. And I'm going to do it as soon as Walter stands up. That is serving God, worshiping God, learning of him, and being happy to do it. Serving God is not a burden either. It shouldn't be. I got to go visit with people who don't want to see me, and I got to tell them about Jesus Christ who they don't want to know. Well, I can understand why you might be depressed. Walter, I can understand why sometimes you feel kind of stupid doing it. But sometimes it does work out that you actually get to witness to somebody who receives the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, that'll give you even more gladness. Because when I started talking to Walter, I was glad just to speak of it. And he at least didn't run away like most people did. He didn't agree, and actually he was a little vocal about some of his disagreements at the time. But he didn't persuade me. I didn't persuade him. All I knew was what I could keep talking about. And God did something for him. And he looked at me one day, turned around in the pew. He was sitting in the pew in front of me. He turned around in the pew and he looked at me. And he said, that stuff that you've been telling me and you've been giving me, he said, that stuff's right. Mm-hmm. Not that I was right. The stuff's right.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
This is the right stuff. And it always will be.
Yeah.
He is right. And I'm telling you something, I was happy that day.
Me too.
I was happy that day. And matter of fact, that day still fills me with gladness, Walter.
Me too.
Because I had found a brother. And you don't get that often. But finding a brother is serving the Lord also with gladness, though. With gladness. It's not a burden. It may not always be fun, but it's not a burden. It's like make a joyful noise. You can be miserable but still be joyful in Christ. You can be miserable in the world, joyful in Christ. And you can have gladness without fun. The world doesn't know anything about that. To be glad, they got to have fun. I got to stop. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And that does make me glad and full of joy. Thank you. For our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.